The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Danny Cannell, Chip Patterson, Barton Simmons, and Tom Fernelli. It's your call for the best college football coverage from National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Tom Fernelli. I'm Chip Patterson. We have a new Heisman Trophy winner, the first wide receiver to win it since 1991 when Desmond Howard did. The third wide receiver joining Tim Brown and the aforementioned Desmond Howard. It is wide receiver Devonta Smith. Tom Fernelli, you're a Heisman voter. Have been for a couple years. You picked the correct winner in many previous years. Did you pick the correct winner? Because your job isn't to pick, correct? You are a voter, but was the player that you had in the first spot of a first, second, and third place vote, was your first place vote getter, the Heisman Trophy winner, Devonta Smith?
I am happy to announce that my record of picking the Heisman winner every single year and voting for that winner since I've had a vote remains perfect. Mm. Yes, Devonta Smith was my Heisman winner, and I know that our long-lost friend, Barton Simmons, is somewhere doing a victory dance right now. But Barton, I believe you had a large part in this. But I was on Devonta Smith before you started pushing it too. So you asked me a million times on the show who I was voting for, and I told you I couldn't vote, or I couldn't tell you who I was voting for, but I believe that a wide receiver will win the award before a running back does. I was signaling it.
So I am perfect, one for one. Devonta Smith was my one. Before we get into Devonta Smith, let's go ahead and get this out here. I had Lawrence as my two and Trask as my three.
I had Najee Harris as my two.
Respect.
Trevor as my three.
Respect. I felt like cutting. Mac Jones was tremendous, statistically elite. The completion percentage was awesome. The passer rating was incredible. But I felt comfortable separating Devonta Smith from Mac Jones because so many of the plays that made Devonta Smith awesome happened with yards after the catch. They happened on simple throws that he turned into highlight reel touchdowns. And Mac Jones has an incredible deep ball. But Devonta Smith was always like 15 yards free every single time he was catching those deep balls. And again, like this is with a bunch of love for Mac Jones. But so I felt more comfortable taking him out of the mix from this like very complex narrowing because I really struggled. I really struggled trying to figure out among what I saw as like five or six good options. How do you narrow this to three? I think I took him out first. And I think that Najee was probably the one that I really left out as like the last one where I was kind of debating between Harris and Trask as my third spot.
Yeah, no, I had a similar kind of process. It was, I mean, like I said, I was very early in the year. Devonta, I was like, that. This is somebody who should be more in the Heisman talk. And in my eyes, he was a very clear Heisman candidate. I didn't make the decision till the end. I just want to make that clear what I said earlier. But it was... Devonta was clearly in there for me. When it came to Najee Harris, I just feel like if you look at his numbers and his production every single game, I mean, that's an amazing season. And
he's also got that same thing that Smith does where it's like screen pass to Najee Harris.
Yeah, and then 60 yards happen every time. It's how many negative plays did Najee Harris have? And you can't say that. Like Travis Etienne had a lot of negative runs, and then he would break things off. Najee Harris really never had negative runs, at least none that really come to mind. So I put Najee second, also partially because, like, when it came to Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, and Kyle Trask, like, the fact, first of all, I wish you could vote for five guys, because especially in a year like this, it would have made life a lot easier, because trying to figure out which one of those three I was putting at third was kind of like, I don't know. But in the end, I think Trevor, had he not missed two games, probably finishes second on my ballot. Because mm-hmm. if you look at his numbers, like I mentioned on HQ, like we feel like he didn't have a great season, yet he set a career high in passing efficiency this year. As far as yards per game, he was throwing for more yards per game this year than he had in any previous season. And as you mentioned on HQ as well, he did it without really, you know, a marquee receiver. Like, part of what works against Mac Jones is he's a very good quarterback and he's had a terrific season and he has not made any mistakes, but he also has a wealth of options around him and he does a magnificent job of getting the ball to them and then letting them do the things that they do, turning 6 yard slants into 50 yard touchdowns, turning a 4 yard swing pass or a wheel route into a 40 yard touchdown after you hurdle a defensive back down the sideline. And there's obviously an art to that, because a lot of quarterbacks have had elite talent at the college level and haven't been able to do what Mac Jones did. So he seriously deserved it. And then when it comes to Kyle Trask, it's like, my God, the numbers he put up were ridiculous. And as I mentioned earlier tonight, you know, you look at that, if he has that kind of season 3 or 4 years ago, he's the clear-cut winner. Like, there's not even a discussion. It's just, we're now in an age where every quarterback, or not every quarterback, but a lot of quarterbacks are putting up eye-popping numbers like that. And I also think that one of the things for me in my process of trying to figure out that who I was going to put on third, Kyle Trask didn't need Kyle Pitts. When Kyle Pitts missed time, Kyle Trask still played well, save for the Cotton Bowl against Oklahoma. But of course, votes were in long before that. But Kyle Pitts missed games and Kyle Trask still balled out. There was still the situation in my mind that when Kyle Pitts did play, and this has worked against Mac Jones as well, he never struck me as the best player on his own team. I felt like Kyle Pitts was the best player on Florida's offense, and Kyle Trask was just a very good quarterback and the second best player on the offense. I think that Mac Jones was the third best player on the offense, and that's if we don't include offensive linemen. So then when I compared to Trevor Lawrence, Trevor Lawrence is the best player on Clemson's offense. Trevor Lawrence might be the best quarterback overall in the country. Maybe the numbers don't match up to it, but just as far as quarterback, he's probably the best one in the country. So in the end, that was kind of the tiebreaker that I used to put him at third. But again, like, the gap between those three was like this. And it gets to the point where you're just kind of picking nits because you can only put three on there.
The, you know, that's the, like, NFL scouts, their sheet that they take requires pros and cons. Mm-hmm. So the reason that we've got anonymous scout trashing an obviously good player every NFL draft is because you have to put something in the cons. And so you just end up taking that and extrapolating it. To your point about Trevor Lawrence, I think a lot of people are going to forget he threw for 400 yards against Ohio State.
Yes. And that's the thing. Because, like, he's so good and he's been so, like, we forget. This is a dude that showed up as a freshman quarterback and won a national title. Mm-hmm. This is a kid that took over for Deshaun Watson, the greatest quarterback in the history of that program. He had to step directly in to those shoes of the greatest QB.
We had one Kelly Bryant year, real quick. We had the 2017 Kelly Bryant year that they got exposed by Alabama in the Sugar Bowl in the semifinal. But then he takes over for Kelly Bryant the final year, ends up going for 303 tutties mm-hmm. against Notre Dame, 303 tutties against Alabama. And by throwing for 400 yards, he officially set a new program record for passing yards per game, breaking Deshaun Watson's national championship winning total, which he had Mike Williams, like, which he had, like, certified NFL players as the top option. Hunter Renfrow also, obviously, who caught the game winning touchdown pass against Alabama. You're 100% right. He came in behind Deshaun Watson, had better numbers with less proven talent at wide receiver. He was the best player on the team.
Mm-hmm. And he was so good that, like you said, he had 400 yards in the loss to Ohio State. Most people are going to forget because, just another typical Trevor game where he's amazing. It's boring. I'm getting used to it.
Yeah. So that's why you had him as your top quarterback. I had him as my number two. Again, Trask at number three, just because it was almost like mind-boggling stats. Like, I don't know. I can't explain this. I made fun of him on this podcast. I said he threw paper airplanes, but I will tell you that he still earned a place on my Heisman Trophy ballot because you are not that productive without being outstanding, and the award is for the most outstanding player in college football. Anything from the ceremony tonight that you enjoyed?
I enjoyed Devonta's suit.
Good
I think
suit.
That he is a very astute dresser. And
in addition to being a beautiful man, as I mentioned on CBS Sports HQ, great cheekbones, beautiful face, well-dressed. He is probably our best-looking Heisman Trophy winner in recent memory.
Mm-hmm. And the other well-dressed man that I noticed was Trevor Lawrence's brother, who looks like the person that if you are in town and you see that guy, that's the guy you want to hang out with. Because that guy will have a good time. He will make sure you have a good time, and he knows everywhere you need to be to have a good time.
Yeah. Didn't he have a little bit of like music festival energy? Like he has the all access wristband, but he's just kind of floating between VIP and the regular area.
Oh, he knows everybody.
Yeah.
When he walks into the room, it's everybody knows. It's like, I think his name is Chase. Chase is here. Hey, Chase. Like everybody knows Chase in town.
Yeah, I liked the intimate look into the family. It reminded me a lot of the NFL draft. Remember when we had it virtually, and the NBA draft also had the same thing. I wasn't paying as much attention then, but you know, you kind of dive in, you kind of get a little bit of a look at everybody. But I look forward to getting everyone together because as great as it was to see all the former Heisman Trophy winners on Zoom, I would prefer to get them all up on stage so they can really flash their style. And shout out to Bomani Jones for this one. He said, I would have loved to see all the grandchildren helping their granddad get on Zoom for the Heisman Trophy ceremony.
I click this? What do I do? What's this button?
Should I click this link? Are we on the intranet here?
Honey, there's a prince here that says he has money for me.
All right, let's go ahead and turn the page forward before we get out of here to next year's Heisman Trophy Award. I've got some odds here. We've got Spencer Rattler right now as the Heisman Trophy favorite, followed behind on the odds board by DJ Uiagalelei from Clemson, Sam Howell from North Carolina, Bryce Young, the successor to Mac Jones, unless Mac Jones wants to come back, which we'll see. Bryce Young, Derek King, JT Daniels, Keaton Slovis. A little bit further down the line, we get to Breece Hall from Iowa State, Brian Robinson, the next running back up from Alabama, Emory Jones, Jaden Daniels from Arizona State, Michael Penix, Tyler Shuck. Anybody stand out to you? Either let's go one name either from the top that you think has an advantage over the others, and then maybe one flyer that you think could move up the board.
Well, I think, you know, I think that going forward, I talked about this earlier tonight too on HQ a little bit. I think that this is an award that more and more is we're going to see not a requirement, but kind of like an unspoken requirement in the minds of most voters. You have to be on a playoff team to win the Heisman, or at the very least, a team that is still competing for a playoff spot once the voting is done. So I think that eliminates a lot of players on this list because I think Sam Howell is very good, but I don't think North Carolina is competing for a playoff spot next year. I don't think Miami is competing for a playoff spot next year. Maybe USC, but until I see it, I don't think USC is competing for a playoff spot. I don't think Breece Hall's in Iowa State are competing for a playoff spot. So then we're kind of with Spencer Rattler, DJ Uiagalelei, Bryce Young, if he takes over the starting job, maybe JT Daniels at Florida, maybe Brian Robinson or Emory Jones. And then after that, I think the long shot, I would go with the favorite right now, Spencer Rattler, because we saw how strongly he finished the season. And I think going into his sophomore year, he's going to put up excellent numbers. We've seen Oklahoma quarterbacks win the award quite a bit recently. And I think that that was an Oklahoma team that finished strong and is going to be back in the playoff picture again next year. But the long shot, not all that different from what just happened tonight, Chip. John Metchie III sitting there at 25-1. Now, granted, you could have gotten Devonta Smith at about 25-1 a month ago when Barton first started bringing him up on this year's show as a Heisman candidate. He was at 50-1. So maybe they're catching on with the preseason odds that we shouldn't have him this long. But I don't like trying to figure out a Heisman winner this far ahead of time because we see it too many times. Like this time last year, none of us are picking Devonta Smith. A lot of times it's not the favorite. It's a guy that kind of, you know, comes unexpectedly and ends up being the pick. So I would wait it for a while. But right now, I would say Spencer Rattler is the most likely, yeah.
Give me Bijan Robinson.
Not a bad pick at all. It's just Texas, you know, Sark better have him playing for a Big 12 title and for a playoff berth because it's going to be hard for a running back to get in there anytime soon, I'm telling you.
Yeah, but it's just, it'd be so, like, we've seen what he did with Najee. And, you know, Najee, as you mentioned, somebody that was on your ballot, somebody who finished fifth in the Heisman voting. And we do have Texas Heisman Trophy winning running backs. Like, they can just kind of build that narrative and we can kind of put it into motion. And then especially if we get like Texas and Oklahoma battling for it, because I'm right there with you with Rattler. Like, the reason that he's a favorite is because Baker Mayfield, Heisman Trophy winner, Kyler Murray, Heisman Trophy winner, and Jalen Hurts, Heisman Trophy finalist, this year was the first year that Lincoln Riley has been a head coach and he's not had a Heisman Trophy finalist.
Hot seat. I think hot seat for sure. So
no, that is why Spencer Rattler is the Heisman Trophy favorite right now, because we've got to snap back. We've gotten off beat and now we need to get back on beat. And that's going to happen with Rattler as a finalist. I'd say that's a lock, whether he wins or not, you know, whole season to tell there. Bijan Robinson, I like that as a dark horse just because Steve Sarkisian has done a good job of highlighting his best skill players and letting them go make plays in space. Also, Bijan Robinson can add that special teams flair, right?
Yeah.
Does it? Yeah, he could be a little punt returner out there and sort of figure out ways to get some extra bonus points. But I'm with you. The playoffs dominate too much of the conversation for me to think that a player who is not at least playing for a conference title on conference championship Saturday, I think it's going to be real tough to be a Heisman Trophy finalist moving forward. He is Tom Fornelli. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom Fornelli. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. We will be back tomorrow, Wednesday, so that we can answer your questions. We also will get Danny Cannell weighing in on the Heisman Trophy and much, much more, including the latest on whatever we know from the COVID-19 situation at Ohio State. As we record here at 9 p.m., the game is still on for January 11th. If we're picking Heisman winners, I'll also take bets. I think that we probably played on January 11th.
Yeah, probably. But we'll see.
We'll see. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you. Good job, Barton.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.